This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:45, and I'm calling this meeting to order. Chelsea, whenever you get the chance, please call the roll. And I turn my recorder on for you.
Sure.
Neil's late.
Present.
Here.
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 Say it again. Absent or unexcused for now. So he's here. Unexcused. Here. Excused.
Here.
He's gonna be a little late.
Here.
Thanks, Chelsea. Moving on to approval of the minutes from the October 18th, 2012 meeting. Are there any motions, seconds?
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, moving on. Moving on to open microphone, if there's anyone in the audience who isn't currently on the agenda who'd like to speak, feel free to come up now. Just say your name and year for the record and then begin. Would anyone like to? Feel free to sit down. You don't have to stand on an angle. Yeah, so begin whenever you want. Sure. So that's actually really interesting. I'm going to open up a speakers list to see if anyone has any questions here about that. And then I'll just make a couple of remarks after. First is, did you have a question?
No, a question and a comment.
Okay.
Hi, thank you so much for coming to the meeting of Open Microphone. I'm a supervisor over at their SSC, and I just wanted to let you know that we do have some sort of procedure for planning that we don't usually ask. They wanted to have to request one, so maybe you can come from there too, and I think this is wonderful. You recommended that in bed. I think that would be definitely good. So thank you so much for the initiative, and I'd love to work with you.
Rep Cho, did you have a question? Great, thank you very much. And I think I'm going to have Sarah Ballack, Representative Ballack, reach out to both of you, and maybe if you can also get their information after, because that sounds like a great idea for a resolution that we could send to President Scorton as an endorsement if everyone votes on it. So thank you very much for coming. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak who's not currently on the agenda? Seeing none, we are going to go into announcements and reports. The first is a Teach for... Is Noe here? No longer a Teach for America announcement.
I can make the announcement.
So John can make it.
There's another deadline coming up for Teach for America. It is November 2nd. It's a great program as far as I'm concerned. I've been going through the process waiting to hear back on November 1st. So if anybody has any questions, I'm pretty knowledgeable about it at this point, and I'd love to help you get connected with our campus rep, who is Hillary Wolf, and she's like an actual staff member of Teach for America who has been meeting with people across campus. So if you have any questions, you can let me know, and I'll get you in touch with the student campus reps and the official Cornell rep. So anybody who's interested, let me know.
Moving on to an elections update. Thank you. Next is an outreach update.
Outreach is going very well. If you have not done your outreach event, it is imperative that you come to speak to me. I am not going to come after you, but you will obviously get penalized if you don't do an outreach event this semester. So, yeah, you got to get on that.
Next is a safety survey announcement.
Okay, I'm going to give you a general safety announcement. I want to make it to our really nice classes if you join us.
For what again? Great, thanks. Next is an AAP announcement by VP Smith. VP.
On Tuesday, I felt my coffee present for a week, and it's called Coffee Hour, so sponsored with the Organization for Media Studies. It was held in the Rapids, Cornell Dining Room. Big support on doing the coffee shop. Over the coffee shop is in this year, 2 hours of free coffee, enough for 50 people. We had it about 150 people come out, in the Tree Dragon for office parking. And out of those, I got about 17 something, a little card where everybody can get a lot of their feedback on the college, some things that are great, things that aren't so good. There's a lot of complaining in there, but it's just perfect. And so we use that at our exhibit setting meeting yesterday for what we're going to discuss about our exhibit meeting on Tuesday at a Friday. So I know Angel was here, kind of stumbled upon me a bit. technically teaching with the teaching judge, so it's basically him there. But if you have any questions on this, you would see how that would be how that
would be. Do you have a question? A comment? Okay. VP Desai.
Yeah, I'm just like sitting here next to Vice President Smith, looking through these, and honestly, like, this is fantastic. And I would personally encourage all the college representatives to sit down and talk to you, Ulysses and Vice President Smith, about how you can potentially do something like this within your own college for your outreach event. Or even just look through the feedback that you got, this is really incredible, and I think it's something that we can do, especially in terms of college representation, that, you know, we still, in my opinion, we have room to improve on.
Great, thank you, Vice President Smith. Next is an Appropriations Committee announcement.
So, just again, the normal heads up, next week we will be talking to Cornell Student/Club Insurance and Outdoor Odyssey, the Appropriations Committee meeting. So I know a number of you guys have come to a few of these meetings already. If you're interested in either of those courses, please come by.
Thank you.
6:45 on Monday.
Next on the announcements is Representative Scalfo.
Hi there, everybody. On behalf of myself, our growth and trying to represent BPE, myself, we just received feedback from our garbage candidate from last year. And it was our resolution last year was the necessary push to administration to do a complete overhaul of the garbage city system here. If you notice, all of the garbage cans will be in support of with support by the student assembly. And that was our doing. So give yourselves a round of applause.
Next is an update on sexual assault initiatives, Representative Batista.
So Steve and I are very excited to learn more about the new discussion that is happening in regards to sexual assault and victims. Yesterday, I was sharing an interview with the Sexual Assault Task Force, creating advertising for the residents to call and informing programs to raise awareness of that being a sexual assault person. So we hope you can see some conversation.
Thank you. Next is an announcement by Representative Block. Thank you. One last announcement, just sort of thanking everyone for participating in last night's event, especially to Narda and Ulysses, who spoke in the event. It was really incredible speeches. And also sort of passing on a word of thanks from President Gordon. And he wanted to thank us and said that you and your colleagues did an inspiring job developing an important event and helped, I believe, to move the campus toward a better place. Now our work continues. So I think a lot of administrators have been saying great things about sort of the organization that we all did. So I just wanted to thank everyone for helping out last night. And then one last announcement. Sorry, EVP Mueller.
So just so you guys are prepared, next week we will be having a presentation from Tim Marshall, who is the Director of Mental Health Initiatives, and John Keith, who is the Senior Project Manager on the means restriction, the net, so to speak, that are going up around campus. They've given me an update that essentially the Stone Arch Bridge, which is the main road into College Town, will be the first completed project, and it should be done actually by the end of this weekend. You should see the fences come down either Monday or Tuesday of this week. coming up. So that's really exciting. I think it's sort of a new chapter and a place for us to all kind of have a little bit of resolve around the collective suicides from our freshman year. But be prepared for questions with them. They're going to present on the university's overall mental health initiative, as well as what to expect with the rest of the project moving forward. Thank you.
All right, are there any other announcements before we move on? Seeing none, we are going to move on to business of the day, to Appropriations Committee reports. VP Desai.
So again, continuing with our bylaw review process, trying to give feedback to the organizations that we work with. The first is Collegiate Leadership Program, which most of you guys know is the organization that provides to the New York Times and the USA Today. And they also have recently provided to the online access to the New York Times. So in general, the committee felt that they're doing a great job. We had an emphasis on moving certain locations, specifically in dorms that can only be accessed by students living within those buildings, more public areas, Goldie's in the Physical Sciences Building, which was, you know, the building was built after this program was stated, so they don't have any dispensaries in there, so that was a popular place that we recommended moving to. The committee also took a formal vote, and by 11-1-2 voted to move the distribution to more heavily New York Times as opposed to USA Today. We're waiting to hear back from the representative of CRP about what other options are in terms of other papers, and then we're going to move forward with this to their recommendation in terms of, like, physically how many papers are we going to switch that distribution to. So that was CRP. The second one is CU Tonight. CU Tonight is a funding board on campus that provides allocations for late night programming. So their two main criteria are you have to throw events that at least 250 students will attend at events that happen after 8 p.m. So the committee had a lot of feedback for them in terms of both efficiency and funding criteria. Maybe we thought that they should more stringently outline what their kind of goals were in terms of funding, whether that be efficiency, trying to reach new parts of campus. Big Canadian, that would give an applying group a stronger indication of whether or not they would get money. Last year, CU Tonight was given a 50-cent decrease during their bylaw funding allocation, and that was primarily due to the fact that they were running a surplus year over year. The committee felt that a large reason that this surplus was occurring was because of groups that were receiving money, not spending all of it, very similar to the SAFC, which is something we've faced for a couple of years now. So our attempt to kind of target that was to keep groups more accountable for the money that they got. Also, that we wanted to see a more standardized process for taking attendance, because that seems like something that hasn't really been streamlined across the funding process. And then finally, we gave them a couple of suggestions for how to set specific types of late night programming that we thought was important. Main categories of that being late night programming during the first 6 weeks, which I know a couple of freshmen have been spoken to already at the same meeting. Late night programming that encourages multiple organizations to work together. Late night programming that appeals to a wide variety of students across all divisions of campus. So that's that.
So I'm going to open up the speakers list to a couple questions. First is DOE Weinberg.
Has any consideration been included in the meeting
So the Wall Street Journal is not available through the Collegiate Readership Program. Just for people to know, this, like, 10 seconds, the CRP is a national program that facilitates us getting these papers. We're not taking byline funding and buying direct subscriptions. So through that, there are papers that are available both geographically and through the program, but Wall Street Journal does not fall into that certificate. There was a discussion at the Appropriations Committee, like I said, of moving to a higher distribution of New York Times. And this is all public information. We currently spend 60 cents per subscription for the New York Times and 46 cents per subscription for USA Today. So that was also a consideration that the Appropriations Committee took into account. Once we get the full list of options of what else is available, potential papers that are in the program that we're checking for geographical feasibility are the Chicago Tribune and the Washington Post and LA Times. Once we look at what those options are and how much they cost, we're going to make a more direct recommendation on what we think the new distribution should be.
Does anyone else have questions before we move on? Okay. Thank you very much, VP Desai. We are moving on to Resolution 13, renaming of the Financial Aid Review Committee.
Hi,
program is. Great, thank you. So we are now going to open up the speakers list. This is business of the day. It's not new business. Just note that. So VP Gitlin, you're up.
No, no, you're good.
Okay. VP Smith.
Just a quick question. Well, first I'll say, Student Public Schools, great grant. I actually had to take advantage of this a couple of years ago. So I'm glad to see you're putting it in there. But also, is this one of the committees that is cast for membership? And is it possible to open that? Or, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily do that.
Great.
Because the reviewing members are actually
going to be
cast
at COVID University.
What
was it?
Not all of them. What?
I was saying,
not all of them. Not all of them?
I read
one of them. Okay, well, I know this one is always in structure that is not comfortable in making it on task to give this information or what.
Is there anyone else who would like Representative Scuffo?
Quick question. Does the GPSA have a committee money fit for their
Not in my knowledge.
Maybe since it's better, but they have a general student advocacy committee that deals with all kinds of issues that fall into this realm for students, but I know that they look at financial aid relief.
Call the question.
So there has been a motion to vote, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Is there anyone who wanted to speak that didn't get the chance to? Okay, seeing no dissent, we are going to have a placard vote on Resolution 13. If you are in favor of renaming the Financial Aid Review Committee, please raise your placards. If you're not in favor, please raise your placards. Abstentions. By vote of 24-0-0, Resolution 13 passes. Before I call up the next resolution, I just want to open up announcements and reports for one more announcement. The SAFC applications are now available. So Representative Pritchett is going to send around the blurb, the SAFC liaison, to everyone. And if you could send it to your listeners that you're on and to all of the constituencies that you represent, that would be great because we're really trying to reach out to as many communities as possible. Sure.
Yeah, so due Thursday at midnight, this upcoming Thursday, so a week from today, it consists of a resume and two questions. So, we are looking for freshmen as well as sophomores and potentially even juniors. Please distribute this as widely as possible if you would like to talk to me and Cameron and have either of us or even an SAFC executive board member come to one of your organizations to speak. We'd be happy to do that as well. Cameron is the point person for this, so reach out to him if you have any questions.
Okay, going back into business of the day, Resolution 15 in support of a green revolving fund. Sure. Yes, we discussed this last time, and I think you guys decided that it would be a recommendation. Is that correct, Sarah?
Yeah.
Recommendation. Thank you, Rep. Kerr. And also note that this is business of the day, not new business. So I will give you guys 2 minutes to sort of present and refresh everyone's minds, and then we will open up the speakers list to debate. The mic. Thanks. Great. So now opening up the speakers list, first on it is Representative Kerr, and if you want to get on it, motion to me. So Kerr.
Thank you.
this will be our decision to be embodied in practice. We don't have to say what our community is going to be. That's the decision that we don't. That's not our work.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Smith.
Representative?
VP Smith.
Anyway, I do think that there are a lot of other things that we have that are technically to our attorney, but I would say that that shows that students are committed to certain issues and they want to voice their opinion on that, regardless of whether or not it's under our attorney or not. But I am a little cautious about the fact that I'm going to be looking at it, but I'm still a little cautious because it is this climate. I think the university as a whole is very, very wary about how to do this funding. And when you're delivering a lot of the conference space scale to that, and you have two resolutions that get called for additional people to be hired and other job resources, and you have to think about where that money is going to be spent, and where that money is going to be spent. Looking at the numbers, it's going to be better. You know, it doesn't necessarily take time for allowing, you know, to get a lot of money out of it. But that's my problem. I mean, I love the idea that it's in general.
So, to bring your home on the answers, just to clarify, the amount of money on the resolution these are just amount of money that you're running, and over to the left is the return on investment. So the return on investment is well over 30%. So I believe that it's going to be all the money that you're talking about for now, like the after savings and after investment in the transition. And so, in times of engineering budgets, I think the revolving fund has been more necessary. The only thing that we need to bring revolving fund would be
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Scalfo. Yeah, so I was actually going to clarify. I believe there is a chance that is under our jurisdiction.
Well, we did it as a central body.
So just for the record, it is. With all due respect.
I mean, it was under facilities. I don't think.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the speakers list? Representative Locke.
Further, I
So I have a clarifying question. You just mentioned that it's not necessarily going to be from the endowment, but the be it therefore resolved clause says that it would be seated by the endowment. Were you making a motion to amend this resolution? Okay. I mean, you don't have to. I just want to make sure that the resolution is what you think the resolution is. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily have to come from the endowment, but it would be sort of overseen by the endowment, or like within it. Next on the speakers list is Rep. Muir. Can you ask the point of information again? Question. Rep. Kerr believes he does. So I'm going to yield to him for now. Okay. Does that answer your question more or less? Could you just repeat your question one more time?
So we're talking about assuming that we have a problem with the fund, but assuming we're to where that money from the right hand side.
So I'm going to, again, like, based off of Dan's answer, and I don't think really anyone here necessarily has the expertise to make that call. I would, if you want to follow up with Trustee Boris, maybe to get some more information about that, I would recommend that. Moving on to Representative Cho. Okay. Did you make a formal motion to amend this resolution, or were you?
I want to word it a certain way.
To be seated by the university.
Okay. I'm gonna decide just because I want to make an amendment so that it sounds better.
Okay. So there was a motion to amend. You motioned to amend it to be seated by the university, but there's what? Sorry. Sarah did. There's dissent. Do you want to explain your dissent, though?
I'm dissenting because I want to propose an amendment that I think worked in a stronger fashion.
Do you want to withdraw your motion? Okay. The original motion was withdrawn. Do you have a motion that you want to? Okay, what is your motion?
I motion to strike the second to last whereas clause and reword the be it therefore resolved clause. Be it therefore resolved that the NJ strongly supports a Cornell University green revolving fund to be funded by the operating budget, administrative budget, endowment, tax reserve, or the energy conservation initiative, and additionally be seeded by the endowment, because there is a difference between being funded by and seeded under, and I want both of those to be in the...
Do you want either to be funded by either in there? Or you want it to be funded from all of them? You didn't say that.
I don't want either.
Okay. So there was a motion on the floor to strike the last whereas clause and reword it as be it therefore resolved. Can you say it once more?
That the NSA strongly supports the Cornell University Green Revolving Fund to be funded by the operating budget, administrative budget, endowment, cash reserve for the energy conservation initiative, and be seated by the endowment.
Does anyone second that motion? It's been seconded. So I'm now going to open. Is there dissent? What? So you can amend the amendment. And so I'm going to open up debate on that amendment, and then if people want to amend the amendment, they can do that there. Okay? So... Okay. Okay, so I'm opening up the speakers list for the amendment. First on it is VP Desai.
So, I'm trying to explain why I just want to make it stronger. The reason why I want the or in there and why I don't want the either is because that leaves it open to the administration to find funding from multiple sources. It doesn't put the onus under any one department. But the or still leaves so you don't have to use all of them. You could use one or two or however many you've chosen. There's only one option because the only place something like this could be heated would be the endowment. So that is my rationale.
False question.
There's been a call to question on the amendment, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? There's no dissent. So we are right now voting on Roneal's amendment to the resolution, which was to strike the last whereas and we basically incorporate it into the be it therefore resolved. Okay? Yes. I'll yield to PP Desai.
Can I just reread the amendment?
Yes.
Okay. I just wasn't clear about the question. Being therefore resolved that the SA strongly supports the Cornell University's Green Revolving Fund to be funded by the operating budget, administrative budget, endowment tax reserves, or the Energy Conservation Initiative, and be seated by the endowment.
So I'm going to take that as a point of information, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you want to say something different, but I think it's distinguishing between the sources of money, which is the endowment cash reserves or energy conservation initiative or operating or administrative budget, distinguishing between the source of money and the sort of account or accounts that's going to oversee that money. So the and seated by the endowment means wherever that money comes from is going to be overseen by the endowment. Is that correct? Okay. Does anyone have any other points of information about this amendment? So we are going to vote on the amendment. If you are in favor of VP Desai's amendment, please raise your placard. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? By a vote of 24-1, the amendment passes. We're now going back into the speakers list for Resolution 15, and next on it is Representative Harris. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Pritchett.
It's the Cayuga lobby.
We, whereas we're
There's been a motion to vote on Resolution 15. It's been seconded. I guess no one seconds that.
Second.
That motion, so it's been seconded. Is there any dissent to voting on Resolution 15? Seeing none, we are going to roll call on Resolution 15. By a vote of 24-1-0, Resolution 15 passes. So, at the request of the author of Resolution 18, it is not going to come up this week. It's been tabled until next week. So next on the agenda is new business, Resolution 20, calling for the hire of an Associate Dean for LGBTQ Outreach. Representative Iwaoka, Emily Bick, VP Desai, VP Smith, and VP Gillen.
He is managing a resource center that, while they work with him, is very effective.
I'm a little bit shocked that these students are able to look at the pattern that they have and say stuff like this about it. From the Ramadan perspective, they find it really listen to the person that handles the entire account, handle all the processing of the payment, make sure that you get money and you're able to pay and pay the person to do that all on their own.
So they haven't finished presenting yet. I'm not going to entertain any motions until they at least finish presenting. I'm going to open up the speakers list. First on it is Representative Bonatti.
Hello, my name is
I think on
On the speaker's list is VP Luke Shen.
So just a quick question. In the first red, as you talk about it being passed, a similar resolution being passed last year, I was curious to what the response was to that. And then I was wondering also if you have considered maybe in the via for the resolve clause or in the resolve clauses, adding more of a description of exactly what type of search committee you're looking for, because I know that that's the initial step in having an associate dean appointed having search committee. So I was wondering if you considered having more explicit information on that.
You have 30 seconds. Next is Representative Cho.
So real quick, it sounds like different from the level that last year and 2 years ago.
And 2 years ago?
After we passed this is what happened. They actually wanted to fire the leaders. So I want to get this in for everything like this, the more initiative that they're trying to make sure
graduated in 2008, this month, this university is being budgeted every year at the same time. There are certain requirements to submit into this university state. And, you know, if this is sent in the Bureau of Labor, there's a limited number of things that go around, and we have to get this university to take the college of our own. And the difference is that 2 years ago, even when that development is now, the LGBTQ Resource Center was to put stuff together, and really didn't have the time to push forward and request the money or someone from other things on campus. In general, I would say that the ACS is a much tougher kind of way to have it than it did back 2 or 3 years ago. So I think the difference is that instead of asking for a solution, we just have to globalize and start pushing the administration, whether it's beginning to do well, if they all need to push through and be comfortable and hold on campus.
Next is Parliamentarian Santangelo.
I have a quick question about, I don't know if you can answer on this, the funding of this position. Is this funding fully through administration? Does a portion of it come out of the byline funding that Haven gets? And how does that kind of compare to other organizations who have financed?
From the perspective, we made a pretty explicit notion that it's not fund staff members, the two current exceptions under that are healthy. Representative for Cornell Cinema, because they have kind of administrative costs, and then a member of Entourage that works here over the summer and gets a couple of weeks. But we do not fund any advisors on the bylaws of the organization. We only fund people that have operational commitments necessary to the organization's day-to-day processes. Every other bylaw of the organization has an advisor that is paid through some channel.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Pritchett.
Thank you. So I guess I want to look at the last comment.
you said that every last organization, or every class, has a full-time, full-paid status. Is that true? Or is it going off somewhere? Or is what media is, you know, the judge sites have a full-time staff and they're completely unfamiliar with the administration already
has? Yeah, so the way I'm going to do that, full-time, 75% of the time. So media has a person within the university, Office of Communications, which has an urgent description of training, so they might find the chief executive of the time for them. I mean, I can send you the model of every organization on campus does have those people. Mary Jackson for Cornelson was the executive that I know that they were having the original statement, and she's not just in the project, but they can operate their role in the organization. The actual outside of the normal job description as an advisor, he does take the same sure the office of the organization is running, which is why her budget, her salary falls under the staff pay of Cornell Cinema. And if you disagree with that, that's something that I think falls under the Cornell Cinema funding discussion and not the agent advisor discussion.
Sure.
So if that's the case, then is it true that every time we establish a new biological organization campus, for example, through your process last year, that the administration incurred a new legislative cost to hire someone, an individual, to allocate 75% of the time towards that organization?
If they don't have to hire someone, they can find the exact person who is willing to say that they will fulfill the time commitments eligible for by the organization, which is the 75% of the normal university employee working hours. So if you have an employee in a classroom, you can follow up on the agency to go above and over that commitment, which I think is one that Marcel was doing originally, even that's a prerogative. I mean, what we realize both me and the government can now is that it's not possible for fact that there are enough hours a week for fact to set up requirements, given that there are other things that we can do.
Next is Representative Bracing.
This is more of a question. What is the difference between the assistant dean and the proceeding?
So, I believe.
I believe it's just business here. That's a funny detail.
Okay, so there's a motion to move this to business of the day, and it was seconded, but there's dissent. Can you explain your dissent?
We really have to stop moving to business of new business from business of the day. We have to take time to consider this. This is the first time that this has been presented to us as an assembly. We can't be acting so quickly. You don't know what you can discover in this next week that's going to change your opinion. So we have to take our time with these decisions. I don't care. It doesn't matter what it is. We have to be consistent with what we're doing with each.
Who made the original motion? I can. Who did? Okay. Do you withdraw your motion?
No.
Or do you? So do you withdraw your dissent?
No, I do not.
So we're going to vote on whether to move this to business of the day.
And also I
got you. Yeah. So if you want to move it to business of the day, please raise your placards. If you don't want it to move to business of the day. Abstentions? Yes? Sorry, abstentions. By a vote of 16-7-2, it's business of the day. So I'm now going back into the speaker's list, EVP Mueller.
I don't want to step first here, but I'm asking this question from personal experience with particular assistant dean of students. How is it possible if you are required to commit 75% of your time to your bylaw funded organization that Joe Scafito is the advisor for Cornell University Programming Board, SLOPEG, and Cornell Conservation, and additionally, you know, supervises a number of other events, including, you know, getting things for the pub, you know, UUPs, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'll start off quickly by saying that so 40% of the time
well, what?
As a direct advisor, 35% of the time is also for program development, like LGT program development. Everyone needs to remember that the LGBT Resource Center is the only LGBT-centered department on campus. Meanwhile, a lot of other organizations have departments scattered across campus that have overlapping goals and projects. And I think it's very important to remember that we are putting so much responsibility on one individual right now that the job is growing. Not to mention that 80% of the last couple of years has ended up resigning the past 2 years because of the pressures of that
job. I know that Joe tends to say 92 as well. There are a lot of committees that have served in his role to get the comments that he has to show there, the same thing that he has to see, and the same thing that he has to see. Many of you go to the same meeting, they only take a bunch of the same interesting processes.
10 seconds.
So, like, I think these are very, very effective, and those are the full time job to do the advisor of those three organizations.
Next on the speakers list is Mr. Epstein. Good night. More to the mic.
Oh, sorry. Based on what Ms. Humble said the last time around, part of the reason for the resolution to do so, as far as what you think is probably involved, was that it focused too much on a particular solution instead of fully satisfying the problem. So that's one suggestion. The other point I want to make sure I have on the organization is they're required to be registered organizations. They need to have an advisor, but still are allocating time to positions not part of the requirement. So, and these are all university organizations, which means you have to be part of the advisor itself. But whether it shows up in their job description or not, not necessarily relevant.
So I'm going to give you guys some time to respond.
Okay, so I listened to the executive board meeting. They thought it was to me and a lot of the attendees to allow my person for me and for him. And the continual question is why are we getting support that we need for, like, as a bylaw for conversation. And to them, and I agree with them, the takeaway is that the support that they need is going to come from the additional hire and the substitution to fill the position. And in terms of job description, I agree with the job description from corporate relations position 5 years ago. Of course, we need to update it slightly, but I mean, maybe it's very clear that that is the role of the person, and I think that that's actually very important for job descriptions, so you know what your job is and what your responsibilities are in writing. Any other questions?
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Scalfro.
So, all of the people are 75% of their time is now presuming that someone will end up, correct? So, is that 30 hours a week? Is there enough work to fill 30 hours per week for a
It's 40%
I agree that it's 40%, but then an additional 35% on the program, so it's 75%.
Right. And again, this is the so that would be 75% of this person's job plus national salary. So that's 1.75% or 1.75 people that is the whole university LGBT matters for the research.
Also, if you if you don't think that 75% of the dollars that is lastly dedicated to LGBTQ, you're unbelievably
I'm not saying that.
I'm
just saying that the needs of the organization itself.
Yes, if you think that there is enough work to be done for someone to vote 30 hours a week.
Okay, and with that, I motion to table to November 1st business meeting.
Okay. So there's been a motion to table until next Thursday's meeting, and there's dissent. Rep. Kerr, can you explain your dissent? Yes.
Is there anybody on the speakers list there?
There are.
Okay.
So I am going to not entertain. Okay. So, okay. So we're going back into the speakers list. Rep. Bonatti. Can all the side conversations please stop? Thank you.
Thank
you, guys.
I know from my background in addition to many others, there is no advisor who goes up to like over 50% of the time, 40% of the time for that. So, and the other side of it is there is to think of my way. So, right now, I have a decision to free funding for safety of our students. From university, regarding a lot of the students on campus, they don't know how to do the research, like,
okay. Yes, let me just make one comment before you do. I do agree with Representative Bonacci's comment. I do think there has to be a little more decorum in here between the side talking, between the back and forth. So just have some more respect for each other. Thank you. On to the second speaker's list, EVP Mueller. But before then, is there anyone else who wants? You're on the second one. Is there anyone else who wants to speak? Yes. Oh, you already spoke on the first one. That's true. Okay. But you're on the speaker's list anyway, so. EVP Mueller.
So I do fully support this. I agree with the sentiments expressed by Representative Lovely and by others before it. I kind of have one question, just sort of to get my mind correctly oriented around what is expected and sort of the precedent with filing organizations. So I might not. Raniel might actually be the best president president of the time that actually knew answers to answer this question, but so when we choose to give byline funding to an organization, is it implied or explicit that the administration will provide a full-time staff member to that position? Because hold on, because what I'm indicating is that I see then some very difficult discussions have it being a more heavy discussion, when even more heavy than we already make it, when you decide to give a new organization byline funding, because in a sense, yes, you're only asking for $2 or something, you know, out of a each student's place, but then you are creating a $40,000-$50,000+ a year position within the university every time we fund a byline funded organization. With that, I will add that I do strongly support this, especially as an area where staff members' help is especially lacking. But I wanted to clear that up for my own edification and for the future of the assembly.
Yes. The onus on what when they do the onus on them to come up with their advisor has and will be, and a lot of the time we'll have it on the most recent example is Slovenia. They will take a member of the administration's work to coincide with the work that that organization is doing, and that's going to overlap that synergy. So the first thing that Slovenia did either is they will be within the University Communications Department, who had a lot of sort of work, you know, does coincide operation with what Slovenia does. She already worked with the way they work on the UBR like that. So very easy for her to pick up that without having, you know, a $50,000 workload to her job. So it is a, you know, getting to my life on the premise that it is easily supported by a staff member and the community resource center. And the kind of part of the resolution is, are you going to assess that support hasn't happened? The person that was supposed to provide that support hasn't been there. And that's not to say anything against the fact that he's been asking to get that for 4 years, but he's been using outside of the certification, and this resolution is calling it as an application.
Can I have more time?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. That's great. Rep Kerr. Next is Representative Cho. Next is Rep. Pritchett, and welcome, Emily. So I'm going to take that as a point of information. Every year, it basically starts over. If a past assembly has passed it, because it's a different body every year, it's no longer, you can reference it like it, like we have here, but we would have to pass it again. We could, in theory, you could pull up the same exact one and pass it again, but you can't cite the one from 2 years ago as ours. But now continue. In that case, Representative Muir. Could you speak into the microphone a little more?
Sure. So I guess my concern is that there are a lot of organizations that need additional recommendations. There's a scarcity of money to do that. And I feel like if the problem is not coming, then some other folks already have, you know, violent funded advisors, but the advisors that are really affected or staff, or some of them are already on a payroll of administration, as opposed to hiring additional full-time, you know, $50,000 salary.
You have 5 seconds.
Yes,
so I would say that the Taiwanese representative of the fact that if you look at something like, you know, social media or a multicultural organization or something like Cornell Cinema, the reason that we don't have a discussion about that is because the university has already allocated funds to that organization to an advisor who operationally covers that organization and their needs, so they want to come back with a higher fund because the university is already hired them. And I think it's very telling for the fact that we have to have this conversation with staff leaders because the university has not already allocated the resources to that population on campus to make sure that we have a staff member that is there to support them. So the students that went back in 2006 made the conscious decision on behalf of the student body to be even in the environment of the organization, say that the services that they provide serve the students on campus, and say that every student on campus has something to gain from their operations. And I personally think, from my personal subjective vantage point, that we as a student assembly now have the obligation to enforce that and make sure that the university follows through on their call to support the community and that we get rid of our students.
So next is Representative Block. So that's the end of the speakers. There's been a motion to table till next week. There's dissent. Do you want to explain your?
He withdraws.
So is there any? There's been a motion. It's been. Was it seconded? It was seconded. Is there any dissent to... Okay. I actually... No, I also think that's appropriate. I should have asked you earlier.
I withdraw my motion, but I'll remake it, I promise.
Emily, feel free to speak.
Thanks. Hi, I'm the president of the LGBTQ union. Under our we're the only university in this position. This has resulted in a increase of student activity for 2 years, not last year, the year before, and the year before that. 2 consecutive years of presidents have quit due to stress advocacy because we don't have an advisor. And the only one on us, the only one on me, right now, to be a human advisor, to take up all the slack and all that. And it's just stress on the students. It's stress on the students.
There's been a motion to table, and it's been seconded. Is there a dissent? What?
Call for acclamation.
Wait. On what? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, it's going to come up at next Thursday's meeting. What? What? I wasn't going to call you out last meeting either. So that concludes the discussion of Resolution 20. I have two more announcements before this meeting is adjourned. Hold up. The first is Rep. Pritchett. And the next is I wanted to give Juan Carlos Toledo a chance to make an announcement if you want to, not to put you on the spot about the Greek system, or next week you could have the opportunity to as well, whatever you'd like. Okay, great. One last, do you have something?
So I just wanted to, I think we had a very healthy discussion on a couple of resolutions today, but it looked for a moment like the agenda was going to be very small. So I just want to remind people that if you make a commitment to me to send something, that you actually do so. There are a couple of resolutions that I was waiting for. This week was particularly tough because of our planning everything for last night, so I was slow to get it ready. I'm happy to give people extensions, but even with some of those extensions, I didn't receive a lot of things I was supposed to receive. So everybody, please remember that the agenda items are due at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, and that's going to give all our other representatives fair time to look at these items before the Thursday meeting, and we really didn't get a chance to do that this week because we were having a long one for so many different things. So please be timely for everybody to come to the section.
So, what? Do you want
to? I do want to ask on slash off the record, but that would be
appropriate that we're doing a business only meeting. President Gitlin is very apt to give out thanks to people and give people a good job, but I do want to commend him in front of the assembly on the record for putting on C4 yesterday, and I think the entire executive board and a lot of assembly members put a lot of time in, but I don't think he slept much for a 3-day span and got together, in my opinion, what is the best C4 event that this assembly has ever thrown in a span of, was it 48 hours? So, I wanted to give my official congratulations.
I'd like to thank my professor who gave me an extension on a prelim. I'd like to thank... thank you, Romeo. I appreciate it. That is the end. We're going to go into executive session. Melissa's going to spearhead that.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.